Okay, can I have the opening slide? Otherwise I won't know what we're speaking about. Okay, so I want to talk this evening with you about living as pioneers. Pioneers are people who don't settle with what is. They don't settle with what they have. Pioneers are always hungry to take new ground. We, a few years ago, made a decision to call our sphere of churches that relate together in the Northeast. We made a decision to call that sphere Taking Ground. It was really a statement that whatever we have and however grateful we are to God for it, we are not settling. We want more. More of God, we want more of God's kingdom, we want more people to know God. That was the statement we were making when we called the sphere Taking Ground. Every Christian should see themselves as a pioneer. And I want to say this is not a personality issue. Every Christian should want to take new ground in their personal life. You know, somehow becoming more and more like Jesus, somehow growing in holiness, somehow growing in the attitudes of Christ and the nature of Christ and the works of Christ. Every Christian should want to take new ground in their personal life. Every Christian should want to take new ground in their marriage and in their family. Every church should want to take new ground in the church. They should be hungry for the church to be more Christ-like, for the church to do more of the works of Christ, for the love of Christ to be more and more abundant in the church. And every Christian should not only see themselves as a pioneer in their personal life, as a pioneer looking to take more ground in their marriage and their family life. Not only should every church have a passion to take more ground as a church, but we should also have a passion to see more ground taken for Christ in the world. I mean, most of this church, even on a Sunday morning, I was going to say most of this church isn't in here. There's a few empty seats. I'm not meaning that. What I'm saying is this church is 10 times the size that it is on a good Sunday morning. But most of the church is not in here. They're out there, yet to hear the gospel and yet to be saved by the Lord Jesus. So every church should have a passion to take new ground in the world, seeing people saved and won to Christ and living a life that glorifies him. Now, if we're talking about being pioneers, if we're talking about this whole subject of taking new ground, tell me what book in the Bible, better than any others, was written for us as Christians to inspire us to live as pioneers and take new ground for Christ. What book in the Bible? Huh? Okay. Well, there are many books in the Bible. Let me give a diplomatic answer. There are many books in the Bible we could look at. Actually, it's the book of Joshua that I want to use this evening to look at the issue of taking ground for God. And let's turn to take your phones, take your iPads, take your Samsung pads, take maybe someone's even got an actual written book here this evening. But let's turn to Joshua chapter 23. Moses, the book of Exodus really is about people who were dwelling in the land of Egypt being miraculously set free from bondage, right? And it's really a picture of what can happen for us in Christ and being saved and being rescued and going through the Red Sea. But the book of Joshua really is about how once rescued, there's a promised land. There's a place for us to live with God in which the promises of God can be made real in and through our lives. So that's what the book of Joshua is all about. Now, when we get to chapter 3, we are getting right towards the end of Joshua's life. So he's not far off 110 years of age. And he's sort of given his last speech to God's people. They've taken a lot of the land that God had promised them, but they've not taken it all. And so he's wanting to speak to them. He's wanting to encourage them. Now, Joshua had seen a lot of things in his lifetime. He's now nearly 110 years old. If he's going to speak to you, right, with all the experience of God he's had, you want to listen, which is what we want to do tonight as we read this, don't we? So, Holy Spirit, I thank you that this book was written for us today to inspire us to be pioneers and not to just settle with what is, but to see more and more of your glory filling our lives and filling this world. So we want to ask as we read it that you would powerfully speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 23, and then we'll read just a few verses from chapter 24. After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am very old. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one's been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he's threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he's given you, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and you go and serve other gods and bow down to them. The Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Let's turn over to chapter 24, and we'll just pick up from verse 11. And this is Joshua. In the first part of this, he's actually prophesying, he's actually speaking from God. So verse 11, "Then you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho. The citizens of Jericho fought against you, as did also the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites. But I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you. Also the two Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own sword and bow. So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So I want to share with you six principles for Christians when it comes to taking new ground in their personal lives, in their family, in the church, and in the world. So six principles for taking ground from this chapter that we've read. One, the first one is be clear on what God has promised. Be clear on what God has promised. In Joshua chapter 1, we didn't read that, but when God spoke to Joshua about the land they were going to be given and that he was promising them, he was quite specific in his description of the land he was promising to give them. He said in verse 4 of chapter 1, "Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west." And in Joshua 23, verse 4 that we just read, it says, "Remember how I've allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain." One of the things that Joshua was very clear on, he was absolutely clear on what God had promised. He was clear on the land that God had promised. And so when you're clear on what God has promised, you can be very confident that God wants to give you that land, and you can be very confident in trying to take that land. So many of you will know the Daniel Challenge. There's a couple of people here on the Daniel Challenge. If you want to wave your hand and give a woo-hoo-hoo, we're on the Daniel Challenge. That's right. So when God spoke to me many years ago, probably about 15 years ago, about setting up year teams, Daniel Challenge teams. And when God spoke to me and the leaders that were with me, actually we were in Manchester at the time, God said, "I want you to set up the Daniel Challenge." It wasn't called the Daniel Challenge, it was called the Net Team, but that became the Daniel Challenge. So God said, "Set up this year team because I want young people to come and have an adventure with me. And I want your church to have a vision to call young people out to give a year to serve me and have an adventure with me." It was a promise of God. God had said it. We were very clear. The first year we did the Daniel Challenge team, we had three people on the team, and it was an absolute disaster the whole year. See? You know, it just, three people came on it and it didn't work very well and they didn't do very well, and sometime into the year a couple of them dropped out, and it was just a disastrous year. It was the sort of year after which you turn around and say, "We are not doing that again." But here's the problem. God had promised and spoken. And so we went for a second year. And the second year was very difficult, but not quite as difficult as the first year. But still, after the second year, you really want to say, "We've done 2 years of this, no more." But God had promised. And because we knew God had promised, we were confident and we persevered. And I can't tell you the number of people whose lives have been, young people's lives, who have been massively impacted by these year teams. Probably about 120, I would have thought, over those years. We knew what God had promised, therefore we were confident to take that ground. And when things happened that were discouraging and that would cause us to give up, we didn't give up because God had spoken and God had promised. There's lots of promises that Jesus made to us in the Bible. Jesus came and said he died to set us free. When I first became a Christian, there were all sorts of sins in my life. You know, there was immorality. There was pornography. There was drinking problems. You know, I was dishonest. There were all sorts of things in my life that, were not right. But I have all my life understood that Jesus didn't just save me so I could go just carry on living my life as I've always done, and then but one day go to heaven. He didn't save me for a ticket to heaven. He saved me to be free from all this sin. He saved me to become more and more Christ-like and more holy. And I have taken those promises that the Son came to set me free. I've taken them seriously all my life. And my life didn't suddenly all of a sudden change and all of a sudden everything in my life was perfect. I want to tell you, some of it's been a battle, like Joshua in the book of Joshua had to battle to get rid of those enemies. Actually, I've been a Christian now for 38 years, right? And many of those years have been battling with sins and coming free of them. But whenever I've got stuck with a sin, you know those sins where, oh, I've done it again, I'm sorry, Lord. And then you do it again and you're sorry again. You know, and you go round and round in a circle. At those times of going round in circles, I always stop and say, hey, Lord, you promised me something here. You promised me that you would set me free from this sin. You know. And I believed God. And because I believed God, I can tell you that by the grace of God, there isn't any sin in my life that I haven't become more and more free from. No sin. I can look anyone in the eye on any sin in their life and say, you can come free from it. How can I say that with such confidence? Because the Son came to set me free. He promised it. It's ground that belongs to us. And we should take it, and we can take it. Now, I don't want to suggest to you now that you know, I'm just, all my thoughts are pure and every action is pure. You know, I'm still repentant of things. Actually, there's still things I will do battle with. You know, there's still things I've come 90% free from, but I'm still believing to come 100% free from. Anyway, the point is, if Christians want to be pioneers that are continually taking new ground, one of the key fundamental principles is understanding the promises of God, understanding what He's promised us, because that gives us the confidence to work with Him to take that ground. Okay? Principle number two. Be very strong and courageous. In Joshua chapter 1, actually I think in chapter 1 and chapter 2, four times Joshua is about to lead these people to take the land that God has promised them. Four times God says to him, Joshua, you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have to be courageous. And then in 23 verse 6, actually, when he's about to die and he's speaking to God's people about the rest of the ground that they need to take, he says it again. He says the same to them that God said to him in chapter 1. He says, you've got to be strong if you're going to take this ground. Fear keeps you out of the land that God has promised you, but courage and faith takes you in. Now, the Bible's very clear on that. If you read Numbers chapter 13 and then actually read Hebrews chapter 4, which takes Numbers 13 and all that went on in that, what you will actually find is that because when they were rescued from Egypt, when they came to take the land that God had promised them, many of them got fearful. And because they got fearful, what happened? They wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, except two men who were strong and courageous and said, God's promised, we can do this. And who were those men? Joshua and Caleb, the only two that entered the land. The Bible is telling us fear keeps you out of God's promises and out of taking ground, but courage and faith takes you in. Recently, I was at a leaders' day from leaders all over our network of churches. We were having a day of prayer and fasting, and we came to take communion together. And You know, it was a sort of reflective time. It was a quiet time. The musicians were playing in the background and we were breaking bread and people were meditating. And I took communion. And then God, the Holy Spirit said to me to do something. And I've never done this before. He said, go and take communion again. Well, I immediately thought, but what will people think? What will they think? You're not supposed to go up and take communion twice. So I was a bit fearful of what people would think. But God had spoken to me. And so I thought, faith and courage takes you in, fear keeps you out. Got to do what God says. So I went and took communion again. And I went and sat down. And I sat down. And then something not good happened. The Holy Spirit said to me, go and take communion a third time. Well, now I'm really worried, you know. And now it was a day of fasting, right? And I'm beginning to think all these leaders will think that I'm getting around the fasting by going and taking the bread. Lord, I can't do that. I was really fearful of what people would think. But fear keeps you out. Courage takes you in. So I went up a third time. I went up with my eyes closed because I couldn't see anyone looking at me. And when I got there, because I knew I was worried about people thinking I was getting around the fasting by taking more bread, I took the biggest piece of loaf I've ever taken in a communion. Because I knew there was a fear issue. And I ate it. And then I said to the Lord, Lord, what was all that about? And God says to me, you're much more worried about what people think than you realize. And if you don't fear me and look to obey me rather than fear people, there are things you won't come into. Or lead other people into. Fear keeps you out of obedience and the promises and the land God wants to give you, but courage and faith takes you in. So a number of years ago, God spoke through Neville to our church in Teesside, and he gave Neville a word about the place, the church, being like a busy train station. And he said, Lord, why have I seen a busy train station with lots of people on and off trains and platforms and things? And God said to him, it's not a train station, it's a train-in station. In other words, God was saying to us he wanted this to be a place where many people were trained and equipped. Many people. Not just from Teesside, but from right across the nation and from other nations. And also, not just Christians being trained, but non-Christians being trained. I want to tell you that, you know, we were clear God had promised and called us to do something and take some land. We have had to take many risks as a church. Many risks as a church. Many people we've had to take risks and employ when we couldn't really afford to employ them. To set up this training station. But actually now, we are just seeing really hundreds of people trained. Many people from prison, many people with drug addiction problems, so they're getting qualifications and training through us. But the journey to get us there has taken courage and the willingness to take risks in faith. But we know God's promised that to us and called us to be that. And so when it's come to taking those risks, we've said, Lord, if you're saying so, then we'll say yes, even though it could end in disaster. But it hasn't ended in disaster. The point I'm making is whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in the church, wherever it is we're looking to take new ground, one key principle of taking new ground is always that you have to be strong and courageous and not fearful. Fear will keep you out. Courage and faith will take you in. Number three, don't compromise on obedience. In 23, verse 6 and 7, Joshua said, be very strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law. That's all that was written in the Bible. Without turning aside to the right or the left, do not associate with these nations, these ungodly things that were going on that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. And then 23 verses 12 and 13, I think is on the next slide. God says, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Obedience to God is associated with taking ground, and disobedience and compromise is associated with losing ground. It's associated with, the scripture says, perishing from the land. And actually, if we read the Bible, we see that. Even in the book of Joshua, we see in Joshua chapter 7, Achan's sin. God had said, don't keep any of these possessions that you've got from the victory. Don't keep any of them personally. But Achan thought, hey, God won't see. And he took them and he kept them. And then when they went up to attack Ai, which was a city that God had promised to give them, the Israelites lost 36 men and they were defeated. They were defeated because of disobedience and compromise on what God had told them to do. And yet when you do it as God tells you to do it, amazing things happen. So again in the book of Joshua, the Jordan River was in flood. And while it was in flood, God said, take the ark, let the priests lead the way, and step into the Jordan in flood. And they did it just as God said. And what happened? The Jordan parted and they went across in dry ground. They came against Jericho, this incredibly fortified city, so tight no one could get in. And God told them to do something ridiculous. March round the city seven times, and on the seventh day round seven times, blow the trumpets. But they did it as God said. And as a result, Jericho, the walls of Jericho fell. We all know this story. The point is that it's very important if we're to take new ground, we mustn't compromise on obedience to God. The issue of personal holiness in our lives and how we're handling sexual areas, alcohol, finance, pornography, all those things that I've talked about, one of the reasons that I've set my heart to get free of those things. And one is because Jesus promised that as my inheritance, I could live free from those things. But secondly, because I've wanted to see God do great miracles and amazing things and take ground for him. And I know from reading the Bible, it's not what I do from the platform that's going to count. It's what goes on behind closed doors when no one else is looking that's really going to count and make the difference in terms of how God can use me and work through me and what land God can give me. And that's true for all our lives. Recently, one of my leaders was in a conversation with me, and I had felt in a meeting that they'd had an issue with another leader. It was just a little reaction I saw in the leadership meeting, and I turned round. I met with this leader who'd reacted, and I said to them, I felt you reacted. I felt your heart wasn't good to that other leader in the room. He said, oh, no, it was just a little thing. It wasn't anything very much. It was just about this. But that's fine. I've shrugged my shoulders. There's no problem. I said, there is a problem. There's unforgiveness. It might not be a big issue, but there's a little bit of unforgiveness in your heart to that brother. I said to them, I quoted the scripture, you know it's the little foxes sometimes that ruin the vineyards. I said, if I was you, I would not let that little seed of unforgiveness take root I wouldn't compromise on being radically obedient to the scripture, which tells you if you've got something against your brother, go sort it out. Well, he said, I don't really think that's necessary. I don't think that's necessary. I think it's all sorted. I think if I go and talk to them, it'll just make it worse if I tell them. So I said what I normally say when we get to that point. Why don't you go and pray and ask Jesus what he wants you to do? If you're not going to listen to me, I'll send you to the boss. I said, just pray and ask Jesus what he wants you to do about it. Anyway, that afternoon, he went and saw the brother and put things right and came back to me and said, we had a fantastic time. I put it right. It didn't make things worse. Actually, I think our relationship is stronger and better for it. Obedience to God and to God's word causes you to take ground. But disobedience and compromise keeps you out of taking new ground. Principle number four is be full on in your love for and service of God. Joshua and Caleb were full on for God. That's what we see in these books. They constantly modeled and encouraged that full onness to others. And Joshua actually, in the verses, chapters that we've read, gives some very strong encouragement to God's people. Come on, keep loving God. So 23 verse 8, keep holding fast to the Lord your God. 23 verse 11, so be very careful to love the Lord your God. Why does he say be careful to love the Lord your God? Because it's easy for your heart to go cold. And it's easy for your heart not to love God. So he says, guard your heart. Be careful to love the Lord your God. 24 verse 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. And 24 verse 15, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I love that verse. He says, you know what? If you don't want to serve God, don't bother. Go serve something else. You will serve something else. You will serve something else. But if you don't want to serve God, go serve something else. I love that. But me, he says, I'm serving God, and so is my household. One of the half-hearted, lukewarm people do not take new ground for God. Wholehearted, passionate, full-on people are those who take ground for God. When I'm building teams and leadership teams in churches and in different scenarios, here's the number one qualification for being on any team that I'm putting together. Number one qualification, right? It's not how tall you are. It's not how good looking you are, Dale. Not how good looking, not how tall you are. The number one thing I look for is, are you passionate and wholehearted for God? Because passionate, wholehearted people take ground. God uses them and things happen. You know what? I'd rather they were full on and passionate than perfect. Full on and passionate people take ground for God. The other thing that's always very important is teachability, humility and teachability. Can you learn? Can you be adjusted? That's another issue there. We have three children. The oldest now is 34. Another one's 27, and another one is 25. It's like a test. You know why it's hard to remember? Because every year the numbers change. How can you keep up with that? So anyway, and they're all married, and many of them got kids of their own, but when we brought our kids up, you know what we said to our kids? Right, you may think this is a bit bad to say to your children, but we said it to them. I said, be full on for God or don't bother. Be full on for God or go be full on and sin in the world. But do one or the other. Now, you may think that's a terrible thing to say, but I did say it, and I meant it. And actually, I think it's a biblical thing to say. Because I could take you to Revelation chapter 3, when the Lord speaks to the church in Laodicea in verse 15 and 16, and where he says to the church this. He says, I wish you were hot or cold in your love, passion, and deeds for me. But because you're lukewarm, one foot in the world, one foot in me, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So I think it's quite biblical to say, come on, let's be full on for God. Or let's not bother. Praise God, all my kids took that seriously. And they're all full on for God. They're all serving God in churches. They're all married to Christians. They're bringing their children up in God's ways. You know, and all of them are involved in leadership or worship or something like that. So I got away with it. It worked. So be full on in your love for and service of God, because those that are full on and passionate do take new ground, whereas half-hearted, lukewarm people do not in the same way. Number five, we're coming into land. In the next 5 minutes, we'll do these last 2 points. Expect God to fight for you. In 23 verse 9, Joshua says to them, this day no one's been able to withstand you. And in 23 verse 10, he says, one of you routs 1,000. 23 verse 9, great and powerful nations are driven out before you. And chapter 1 verse 3, he says, every place where you set your foot is going to be given to you. Why is that? That's a why, you see, question mark, question mark. 23 verse 10, Joshua says this, because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. It's not your sword, it's not your bow that's defeating these enemies and giving you new ground. God himself is fighting for you. When I was not a Christian, I was 19 years of age. I moved into a house with four other single lads. One of them was a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. The others weren't Christians. I made this Christian's life, this guy called Graham Blower, I made his life absolute misery because I hated Christians. It got so bad for this guy, he went to his home church and he said to his pastor, I got to move out of this house. This guy, Martin, is absolutely horrendous to live with. And there's no way I'm going to survive in that house the year if I don't get out. His pastor said to him, stick on in. God will fight for you. Stick on in, God will fight for you. 3 weeks later, after coming back and his pastor telling him that God would fight for him, I asked him if I could go to church with him. And 10 days after that, I'd asked God to show himself. He'd shown himself. I'd given my life to him. I'd become a committed Christian. That pastor was right to send him back. That pastor was right to say, go back into that tricky situation. And you won't go back alone. You won't have to fight this guy, Martin, by yourself. God will deal with him. And he certainly did that, didn't he? Here I am, how many years later, 38 years later, preaching out of the Bible because God fought for Graham Lower. Whatever you're involved in, whatever land you're trying to take, you're not trying to take it through your own strength. God fights for you. Remember that. Speak that to yourself. Read the scriptures that tell you that. And finally, the last principle is expect God to give you land. The basis of our expectation when it comes to taking ground and getting land, the basis of our expectation is that God's faithful and fulfills his promises. 23 verse 5, the Lord your God himself will push them out. For your sake, he will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. 24 verse 13 that we read, so God says, I give you a land on which you did not toil and cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. God is saying, I gave you the land and I'll give you more. Scripture tells us to expect God to give us ground. And then the next slide, 23, verse 14. I absolutely love this verse. Joshua says, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. What an extraordinary verse. It's a 110-year view and perspective. Many of you have heard the story of George Muller, who was a Christian evangelist, lived between 1805 and 1898, opened a lot of orphanages and schools in this country. When he got saved, there were five friends that God promised him would be saved. And he prayed for them, those five people, every single day. The first one got saved after a few months. The second and third ones got saved after 10 years of him praying every day. The fourth one got saved after 25 years of him praying every day for his friend. And the fifth one got saved 52 years after he prayed every day and got saved at his funeral. George Muller's funeral, the last of those five friends got saved. God promised him something, and God gave him what he promised. What's God promised you? What land is God saying he wants you to take? Be clear on what God has promised. Be very strong and courageous. Don't compromise on obedience. Be full on in your love for and service of God. Expect God himself to fight for you. And expect God himself to ultimately give you land. Shall we pray? Father, I just simply want to thank you this evening that you are a good God. You've loved us, you've saved us, you've rescued us. I thank you that we're no longer slaves. We no longer have to dwell in Egypt, but you've brought us into a new place, a new land, a new way to live. And that's living with you, living in relationship with you, living in fellowship with you, and living a life that walks hand in hand with you and trusts you and believes you. A life in which we know your word and look to live your word. I want to thank you that you have promised us that you would bring us into fullness of life in the here and now and ultimately when we go to be with you forever. I want to thank you for every person sat in this room tonight. Every single person is here, not because they decided to come, but because you brought them here. And the word that's been brought this evening is specifically for them. I want to pray that you would stir up your love and your grace in their lives afresh. I want to pray in a fresh way tonight you would stir them not to settle with what is. I want to pray in areas of their lives where they've settled with what is. I want to ask that you would stir them up by your Holy Spirit and you would say, hey, you know what? There's more for you than that. And I just want to pray you'd stir people up to be pioneers. And I pray that these six principles, Lord, would encourage them and strengthen them. You wrote them right through the book of Joshua, and you wrote them in the book of Joshua so that we might have and live out of them today. And I pray you'll bless every person here and empower them with a new hunger and thirst to take ground in their lives, in their families, in the church, and in the world. I want to pray they'll walk with you in that. I want to pray they'll see you fight for them, and they'll see you do signs, wonders, and miracles in all sorts of ways as they put their hand in yours and believe you to fight for them and to give them all that you've promised. May we be a people at the end of our lives that say not one of the Lord's good promises has failed. And Lord, we know we won't see every single one of them fully fulfilled in our lifetime, just like Abraham didn't. He was promised the stars, but he did see Isaac. And we're here today as part of that promise fulfilled. Millions and millions of Christians right across the world. Those stars that were promised to Abraham. You always, always are true to your word. May we be those that are always faithful and loving and full on for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.